Well, I hoped never to see you again.
What's up, dog?
We're back.
Ladies, nobody cared about the Jump Street reboot, but you got lucky.
There is nothing better than an angry black man in a movie. Never nothing better than an angry black man in a movie. I swear, why couldn't Ice Cube do this in Ride Along?
I was just about to say that. Like, you and I both walked out of Ride Along. It's like, fuck this. Like, fuck both of them. We walk out of this. Man, Ice Cube's funny as shit, isn't he?
You know why? It's because they tried to, as once again, those kind of movies I hate, they always do with, like, either those buddy cop films, like, we have one straight guy and one comedic guy. It's like, why can't they both just have the personalities mixed together or whatever? And I hear Ice Cube does the straight guy, but with the funny, I know we jumping ahead, but the middle of the film, that motherfucker had me laughing hard. I can't remember the last time I laughed.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. Yeah, we're talking about 22 Jump Street today, people. This is the sequel to the, was it 2012?
Yeah, 2012, yeah.
Yeah, 2012.
Surprisingly good 2012.
Yeah, the 2012 surprise critical and commercial hit 21 Jump Street. And, what?
I was shocked by that.
I was too. Like, it was one of those movies where, like, I was just like, this looks like such a stupid idea. I don't like both of these actors. And I remember walking out, it's like, what the fuck was that? That was good.
Yeah, I interviewed this guy back in 2012, and he's an actor. He does, like, stage plays and stuff like that. And he said that the reason why, and you know, a part of me wants to not believe it, but after seeing this, he said, or a lot of people like Channing Tatum. They can't act, but he's probably a comedic actor. But since he looks so damn good, they keep putting him in roles that don't fit him. Kind of like Colin Farrell.
Right.
And I wonder if that's true. I would like to see Channing Tatum in another action comedy or comedy film where these guys that directed and wrote it is not working on it. And I want to see how good he can do on that. Because maybe he is a comedic guy, because he plays that dumbass pretty goddamn well. I mean, his timing. Now, granted, it could have been direction-wise, which I'm pretty sure it was. That director's pretty amazing. But the timing on his comedic parts, whatever, was damn near. I was looking at him like, he's not good. What is he? Who's telling him to do this?
Yeah. Because, well, okay, so here's how this movie really works. This is directed once again by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who,
thank God.
Fans of this podcast know that we have praised these guys a good amount recently.
They need to really work on a Marvel film.
I heard the rumor is that they might be working on that Sonic the Hedgehog film that got announced.
Marvel needs to grab a hold of these guys, because they definitely know action comedy like a motherfucker.
They're the ones who Marvel should have been looking at for Ant-Man.
I personally could see that, too. I wouldn't even mind if they wrote, no, never mind, take that back.
No, I want you to finish that sentence. I'm kind of curious now.
Fantastic Four.
Oh. Actually, they would have done a good job with that.
Yeah, I would love to see that, actually. I laughed as fuck. I'm not going to lie. I can't remember the last time I laughed so much or whatever. And mainly at some actors I don't give a fuck about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this kind of is doing the same thing that the Muppets sequel did, but to a much bigger extent, where Phil Lord and Chris Miller are so hyper aware that they are making a sequel to a movie that they use some of the
sequel.
What?
That doesn't need a sequel.
That doesn't need a sequel. That they use some of the exact same jokes in the original, but they find ways somehow to make them funnier.
I think they made the plot funny just by saying, there's a repeated line here, people. Just do what you did last time and it'll be funny. It'll be good.
I mean, literally, the movie starts with these two fucking up a narcotics arrest.
Fucking it up. You know what? And as I barely laughed at that scene, but I thought it was still funny in some scenes, but that's the least funniest thing of it, and I think the writers kind of knew that as well.
Yeah, they did, because they brought in Nick Offerman quick to tell them, look, shitheads, you're going back to Jump Street because obviously you dumbasses can't do anything else.
Look at all this money we spent. Oh, even got Korean Jesus. That ain't Korean fucking Jesus. That's Vietnamese Jesus now.
Right.
He's like, look at his robe and shit. Motherfucker blinged out, ain't he?
Yeah.
Hey, Ice Cube, definitely for me. personally, I don't care about him as an actor or whatever. He's whatever to me. But in these 2021 Jump Street movies, that man is funny as fuck, okay? Like, just his angriness and shouting all the time, and just the way he looks at people. When Jonah Hill opened up his mouth, he just looked at him and just like, every time you speak, man, I just want to fucking punch you in the face.
Right.
That's why I can't get that in Ride Along.
Yeah.
That just goes to show you, direction and writing really can matter in a film.
Like, here's the thing. This movie is very colorful.
It really is.
It's very well shot. And these two directors have just gotten the fucking comedic timing of these two actors down to a goddamn teat.
Which I'm so that's why I'm saying, Channing Tatum, he's not a good actor. And yet his comedic timing, which he's not a comedic actor neither, his comedic timing was better than most comedians I've seen in movies.
Yeah. Because I don't know who to give credit to. I don't know whether to give credit to the writers. Because it is different writers this time around. Lord Miller actually didn't write this.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you on that one, too. I personally, when I walked out of it, I was like, why am I laughing at Channing Tatum's scenes? Or, matter of fact, if not, his scenes are more funnier than most of Jonah Hill's in here. And mostly, it's just because of his reaction shots or his timing of how he reacts to something that happens. Where I'm just like, that's not him. That can't be him. Or maybe he really is a good comedic actor. We just never seen him in comedy films, whatever. I'm with you. I don't know who to fucking give credit to on this. But I will say just good job to everyone, because goddamn, there is a scene, people, when Channing Tatum, I'm not going to spoil it because we're going to get into some story before we set this up, because this is the funniest fucking scene in the whole film. There's a scene in here where Channing Tatum finds out what Jonah Hill did something, and his timing could not be perfect on that scene. And you know which one I'm talking about too, lady, right?
Which one? Because that happens twice, doesn't it?
There was one where he finds out that Jonah Hill did something with Ice Cube.
Oh, yes!
Channing Tatum's... His timing was so perfect on that. When he found that out, that when he just started making fun of it going around, I was just like, I shook my damn head. I was just like,
Well, it's not only that. Okay, so pretty much what happens here, people, is that Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum, they are, Janko and Schmidt?
Janko and Schmidt, yeah.
Yeah, Janko and Schmidt get sent back into the Jump Street program, and they are sent to a college this time to try to find the supplier of a drug known as Wi-Fi.
What were they on first? They were Internet College? What the fuck?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was in the first movie, but this drug is called Wi-Fi, and pretty much just like the first movie, this causes people to do crazy shit, then die.
Yeah, then they figure out it's 4 hours of focus time, 4 hours of getting fucked up time, and once again, Ice Cube P's line, infiltrate the supplier and find the demand. Infiltrate the demand, find the supplier. So he's like, and then Channing Tatum says something where he looked at it, he said, God damn it, just do what the fuck you did last time, and it's gonna work out perfect. There's even a scene at the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie, where Jonah Hill's watching the news, and the cops were making fun, they were just like, this happened just like last time. If the correct officers would have did it like last time, this would have all been solved much quicker. I was just like, God damn.
Yeah.
It's almost as if Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill was in a movie where they were trying to do something different, and the writers and everybody else kept telling them, just do what the fuck you did last time.
And that's part of the humor.
That's why it works.
That's why it works. One review I looked up for this said it best. It said, and I shit you not, this is from USA Today. 22 Jump Street is pretty much the exact same movie as 21st Jump Street. It knows it, you know it, and it knows that you know it. And that's why it's fucking brilliant.
I want to say it's one of the most brilliant, I hate to even say this, it's one of the most fucking brilliant comedies I've ever seen just by pointing that out, though.
Because it does it so well. It manages to create jokes off of that knowledge.
Wow, I've seen two great sequels this week, and neither one was a superhero film, either. And they're shaking my foot, and I'm shaking my fucking head by going, they both were fucking clever on what sequels should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they both have actors that I don't give a fuck about.
Right.
I don't give a fuck about Jay Baruchel. I don't give a fuck about Channing Tatum.
Right. It's so weird because, like, last week we got two very good original movies, and this week we get two very good sequels.
I'm very shocked by that. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead and continue with the story you were giving
there. Oh, no, you're all right.
I'm in confusion, to be honest. I don't know what's going on here in this movie.
We thought the summer of 2014 was going to fuck us, and instead it's just cradling our ball sack and telling us it's going to be okay.
Cradle us for now. July rolls around. I don't know.
July. It's okay, P1 and Lehu. Just wait until the damn Autobots return. Oh, no.
Oh, that's next week. Oh, fuck. So hey, DC said we ain't fucking up June this month. Michael Bay, you got that.
Well, P1, it's been a good month. We had a good ride while we could. But basically these two are just, they're doing the same thing as they did in the original movie, except Janko is actually getting along with the jocks this time. These two jocks named Zook and Rooster.
And they got more money, as Ice Cube keeps saying.
Oh, yeah, which they blow immediately.
Look at all this shit. I don't even know what this screen does or whatever, but I like it. Shit, it looks nice.
While Jonah Hill, Schmidt, courts a art student named Maya, who in a hilarious way is revealed to be Ice Cube's daughter.
Now, people. You don't know this at all. You don't know this for a good, I would like to say, 30 minutes before when he meets this chick. Maybe 25. But he meets this chick at a poetry slam hunt, and they start talking. He sleeps with her, which, by the way, Amber Stevens is a girl's play. She is fine as hell, by the way.
And, it's very sweet. It's very sweet how it plays out. Until.
It really is, because you see Channing Tatum. You see Channing Tatum fitting in with his group, and you see Jonah Hill fitting in with his group. So it does kind of play out pretty well how they handled that this time around. And she sleeps with him, and they wake up, and she's just like, look, don't make it a thing. But then, you know, they start hanging out more, so they start dating. And I love it when Ice Cube tells him, just do exactly what you did last time, dumbass, or whatever. And then Jonah Hill goes, well, actually, it's not like the last time, sir, because one of us actually got laid this time. And then Ice Cube was like, Smith? Man, come here, boy. Give me some. You gotta give me some dab on that, whatever. And then it ain't a good 20 fucking minutes later. Like, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was on the floor in a crowded theater cracking. I was like, that the delivery on ice. When it's Parents' Day at the college, which I don't know why Jonah Hill would attempt in joining that, first of all. And there's Parents' Day. And then Maya's like, my parents is over there, too. And guess who is fucking Ice Cube and Queen Latifah as the
And Jonah Hill's face just fucking sells it when he realizes it.
He is quiet the whole lunch. And like, he kept making like jokes about like he's a black man, we should just let him be angry. Like, you ain't making this bad. And Ice Cube is just staring. He's staring so hard at Jonah Hill that even Queen Tiffany looked over and say, honey, do you know him or something? He's like, nah, I don't know him. I'm gonna go get some more food though. This motherfucker. Okay, if you ever been to one of these, like, I guess like a fancy dinner or something like that, whatever. You know, they try to cheat you and shit. Like, you pay like $100 and they give you like three fucking green beans with loaves. Because they like to make designs and shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. Dude, I'm still in college. I know how the game works on parent night.
Thank you. Shit. So they gave this man, this big ass Negro, they gave him three asparagus. That motherfucker looked at that and said, the fuck you think this is? Nigga, give me the fuck. He's like, oh, there's some nice chicken you got right here. He took off the pizza, chicken bitch.
Oh, did you, just out of curiosity, did you notice the other cameos throughout this movie?
Man, there were so many cameos in here. I think that was one of the best things this movie did, that it not only was it a throwback to the previous movie, it was a throwback to the TV show as well.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But you had some of the cameos in here. I think I might have missed some personally. But you had, excuse me, goddamn.
The original?
No, Oscar Gale was one that I'm recognized as the tattoo artist. Dax Flame. Who else was in this bitch?
You missed Richard Grieco, who was the original Booker.
That's right. Yes. Oh, yes. That's right. Damn. Oh, and the twins, they're like comedians as well.
The Lucas brothers.
Yeah, the Lucas brothers. Them. Obviously, you recognize Nick Offerman. It's no big shock there.
Did you catch Patton Oswalt?
Patton Oswalt. That's right. He was at the. He was a teacher at the school and shit.
Yep. Most of them are teachers. The other two teachers that they caught were Bill Hader and Anna Faris, who had worked with. Lori Miller on Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Right, I was going to say, Anna Faris was in there as well. I love Patton Oswalt scene, too.
Oh, like, Patton Oswalt, I love him just because no matter what he's in, he'll be in it only for 5 minutes and he'll make the fucking thing.
I wouldn't have been surprised if he was a drug dealer.
Part of me actually was believing at first that he was going to be, kind of like how Rob Riggle was revealed to be it in the first one.
Because he looked like he was on drugs when he was...
Yeah, and it was one of those things where, like, Rob Riggle's role in the first one was very short. It could have been considered a cameo. And then it became bigger at the end of the movie. So I thought they were going to do the same thing with Patton Oswalt.
Oh, let's not forget Dave Franco, too. He had a pretty fucking... That cameo he did was funny as shit. He was like, I want to thank you, though, after shooting my dick off, though. Because
there's a scene where Janko and Schmidt go... To get in for like to try to get a better understanding of how to catch this guy, they go visit Eric and Mr. Walters, who were the villains in the first movie.
Yeah,
and
she was fun. I ain't gonna lie, she had me laughing as fuck. Whatever, he's like, yeah, Eric was all up in this pussy. He was tight up in this shit or whatever. And then Dave Franco just sitting over there like, God, please shut him up. I just want to get out of here now. Man, motherfucking, Rob Riggle, that's a big motherfucker, too.
Have you never seen Rob Riggle in full outfit before?
I apparently not, because when he came out that jail cell, I was like, God damn, dude, I don't even remember him being that big in the first 21 Jump Street. He was fucking huge.
Yeah. I was
blown away by it.
He's a big fucking dude. He
was fucking huge.
I also thought it was, like, a funny, I don't mean to spoil this for people, but the villain of the movie, who they cast for it. Kind of.
Oh yeah, what's her name too? Because she's recognizable too. In
no, not Jillian Bell. Not Jillian Bell.
Okay.
But the ghost, the main guy. Did you recognize who that was?
Which one was Ghost? Was that his name? The Ghost. Oh no! Wait! Don't tell me. Peter Stormare.
Yep.
Yeah, Peter Stormare. Yeah.
Who always, for some apparent reason, plays a villain.
He's a great villain.
Yes, he is. Fargo kind of.
Oh, let's not forget the Mexican Wolverine.
Oh yes, right.
I'm not gonna lie, it's bad. Like that scene's not even really that funny. But Jonah Hill, man, when he got out that car,
I will say this. One of the things that I also really like about this movie is that all the action scenes are much more exciting than they were in the first one.
They really were. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say there's a chase scene with a truck where Channing Tatum gets to show like, oh yeah, I'm actually muscular and I can be an action star, and it's actually a pretty badass scene where they're hanging off the truck with the chase,
and then it's funny what happens at the end of it too.
Right, exactly. It reminded me so much of the highway chase in the first one.
Yeah. Oh, the highway chase in the first one was fucking spectacular. Dude, that shit,
right, that shit was hilarious.
Yeah, that shit was hilarious. I think the writing is so tight on here that personally, one of the best things of the film, too, is the movie, like How to Train Your Dragon 2. It expands on the relationship between Janko and Schmidt here.
Yes, it really does.
You really do like those two together. You can tell, like, these two are either friends outside here because they had so much chemistry working together. I was just looking. I was just like, I never would be backing up Channing Tatum before until this. I saw this movie. But goddamn, dude, him and Jonah Hill work very fucking well together.
Yeah. I think it's because they're such polar opposites. And it is two of those people you look at. It's like, it's never going to fucking work.
Yeah.
And they do
it. Another thing about Ice Cube's part. Motherfucker kept sending text messages when the daughter gets mad because Ice Cube kicks over fountains and shit like that. He's just angry now. So the daughter's like, let's take our mind off it. And you would think, like, you get a fine-ass girl like this telling you, like, even my ass, I'm like, yeah, fuck them. Shit, I'm thinking about this. But Ice Cube kept randomly sending text messages. Like,
yeah.
to the point where even I would have looked at her and been like, you know what, baby, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I gotta change my name. I gotta go to Mexico. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Ice Cube sells that fucking pissed off look. There was even a scene where Jonah Hill was upheld with a gun in his hand. Ice Cube had to save him. And that motherfucker, I thought he was gonna shoot Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Like, I could just shoot you through the arm and hit her right in the neck. I think that'll work out just fine. It was just like, please don't shoot me. I like the scene too where Ice Cube was tied up and he's just like, bitch, you about to get caught. You getting chased by one of the best drivers, and he looked back, oh fuck. Now the movie, personally, I thought it worked on so many levels. Even for a movie that went for 2 hour length, I know that's probably like one of my always biggest complaints of comedy films. I don't think they need to go over 2 hours, but I thought that it was handled so well to the point where the parts where it's not even being comedic, I admire just the chemistry between all the characters they had.
It didn't feel like 2 hours at all.
It really didn't, because I think it doesn't have that Wolf of Wall Street effect where it's jokes left and right where it's not like making you exhausted of laughter. I thought it had a nice balance of action, drama, and, you know, just this bromance to hear whatever shit. You can laugh in some parts and look at some parts, like you said, and look at some great action scenes that lead to a great action comedy film, to be honest.
Yeah. It is one of those things where, you know, the movie is so, like, the pacing of it is so tight that it does not feel like 2 hours. Even the little moments, you're right, the chemistry between all the actors and the fact that they're giving their all to this does not make it feel like a long movie. And that's been the problem with almost every other comedy we've seen this year. It's just that the jokes are not flying.
McCarthy.
Yeah, the jokes aren't flying furiously. And the other thing that this movie has that's going for it, kind of like, you know, to a certain extent, you do kind of, like, get enthralled in the mystery of, like, okay, who is doing this?
I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of curious, too, because at first I really was believing the news when they were just like last time, dumbass, or whatever, but then I was just thinking, like, no, unless they plan on wrapping this up in a bromance, something big's going to happen here. So I was like, I'm very invested in what's going on here, who's in charge. And personally, I never would have guessed it was the roommate.
Yeah, and that was the thing. They do a great job of setting up that it can't be the roommate. She's too quiet to do anything like that. And
yeah, she's just always in the room watching and shit.
Yeah, the way this movie accumulates, like the third act, to me, and I don't know if you felt this way at all either, felt like this was a big old fuck you to Spring Breakers.
You know what? Thinking about it after the movie, I did think about that on the drive home.
Because it is artsy, it's colorful, it's neon, it shows the stupidity of Spring Break, and it did it 10 times better in 20 minutes than that hour and a half movie did.
I thought her ending wrapped itself up perfectly.
As yeah.
Led to. Actually, Channing Tatum has another funny scene there where he's beat, like, everybody else is just partying and shit, and he's trying to take this serious, and the point where he just knocked out a dude, and this girl just jumps on his shoulders and shit, and he's like, what the fuck? nobody can say, like, oh, maybe she didn't know what was going on, but it's like, straight out, like, this dude pulls a gun out on him, leaves him to fight two guys, and after Channing Tatum knocks both of them out, this girl just jumps on his shoulder and is like, yeah, and just goes like, dude, you gotta be kidding me. Like,
right. It's one of those things where he perfectly shows the stupidity of Spring Break, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was amazing how they handled it. Even Channing Tatum, the dumbass that he plays in the movie, even, like, got caught off guard by it. He was just like, what the fuck? What is she doing?
Yeah. Even the movie, even the post-credits is a fucking hilarious joke.
The post-credit is the... You know what? I'm going to say this. I thought Skyfall had one of the best title openings ever with the music and the whole graphic they had going on. This is definitely one of the best post-credits scenes.
Oh, yeah, because basically what they do, people, is that they set up that this event and the bust that these two do is so wide known that they build a franchise off it.
And it goes back to the main joke of the whole movie that we know we're making a sequel here and you know there's going to be more of them.
Right, which kind of, you know, in a way, it's kind of the production crew also saying, like, look, this was fun, but fuck, we're not doing another one.
It does something what Machete Kills failed to do.
Yeah.
Machete Kills tried to do the same thing, where it was just like, hey, nobody gives a fuck. nobody gives Machete and Spade. They set up, like, I mean, it's just pretty much Ice Cube telling them, you doing this one. And they set up so many ridiculous elements. You going to space. I think, what was that, 2025, some shit like that? Like,
2021 Jump Street.
They had 23 Jump Street. It went all the way up to 45 or some shit like that.
Right. Like,
and even Ice Cube made a joke, but like, why not? You can keep going. He was like, y'all going to video games. Like, I was like, wait a minute, how does that work? And then it said 2032. I was like, wait, huh?
Yeah. There's even a funny thing where one of the Jump Streets, Seth Rogen plays Schmidt due to a contract dispute.
And then Channing Tatum says, like, he's like, what happened to Schmidt? And he was just like, that's Schmidt right there, boy. You can't tell the difference? Come on, Schmidt, tell me Schmidt. He's like, yeah, I'm Schmidt going on. And then they get out the car, they're about to do their like, rabbi thing or whatever. And then Jonah Hill returns for the next 20 Jump Street. And then, like, he's just like, I'm so glad you're back. And he was just like, contract issues, you know.
It is. It's one of those. I got one more thing for you. Did you recognize who Zook was?
Zook was Wyatt Russell, if I'm not mistaken.
Kurt Russell's son.
Yeah.
Who actually was pretty good.
I didn't know that was Kurt Russell's son until 2 days after I saw the film. I was just like, that's Kurt Russell's son? Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, and he did a solid job. He turned down to be in Catching Fire to do this.
He had a pretty big role in this film, too. Maybe in Catching Fire, he had probably a smaller role, but...
No, Catching Fire, he was supposed to play the person we dubbed Aqualad.
Oh, wow. Him and Channing Tatum had great chemistry together. I never thought I'd be ever saying that about Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Him and Channing Tatum worked well off each other. They're both just two big dumb asses going, dude, bro, work out, bro.
Which the movie points out.
Man, but that post-credit scene, man, that was one of the best times I've ever had watching credits.
Yeah, I agree.
Seriously was, whatever. Y'all going to nursing school. Y'all going to Chef Cordon Bleu, Chef School, whatever. You see him trying to like set the tracking device in the cake, where he's like, then this dude walks in with a gun on him and Chan Tatum throws like a fucking chef blade at him and shit. I'm just like, I'm not gonna lie, part of me said, hey, you know what? I kind of want to see somebody. I said, fuck movies. Maybe they should make like web series shorts or something like
that. Oh my god.
I would watch that shit. Man, who would have thought this franchise would be great?
I know, that's the thing. Like, you know, after the first one, even when they said they're going to do a sequel, we were like, huh?
Yeah, I was like, I know they set up a sequel, but that just seems unnecessary. And then when the trailers came out, I was just like, wow, these trailers look fucking horrible. Once again, like, How to Train Your Dragon didn't have a horrible trailer, but I was like, man, them trailers, that trailer showed a little too much, whatever. But once again, it's another bad trailer that the movie was, both movies were outstanding perfectly.
Yeah, I agree.
So, for me, this gets nothing but a seat as well. I agree. Probably the best week of the summer, to be honest.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, with the second best being last week. For me, at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely up there as well, too. It's a shame that it's about to get knocked down now. It really fucking is, because I
Autobots, rolling to bring in the bullshit.
I really, after these past 2 weeks, I really have caught what the envision and the embodiment of what the summer films are supposed to be, and I thought that these past 2 weeks captured that both perfectly. What summer films are.
Oh, you know what? P1, we get another week. We get another week of solace because Transformers is 2 weeks.
I know.
Now, next week, we don't got a lot.
Hey, they in June, I know. But then, you know, you got that Tammy movie. You know, Miss McCartney.
Oh, God. Dude, I might use my free pass that week. You know how much I hate her.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I give it a C of people. God damn, man. Enjoy what I got right now.
Yeah, you know, like Captain America did for action movies, this really does set the bar high for comedies for the rest of the summer. And even for comedies before this, I mean, this is really, you know, this was able to take an idea that everyone thought was fucking stupid and make one of the funniest comedies that we've seen in years. You know,
I don't think this year will be hard to put a summer list together.
No, it won't. Unlike last summer where we got dicked.
Hey, I was struggling with that list.
I was like, ugh. I know, Iron Man 3 kicked us off Greg, and then the rest was like, oh, this is all you got.
And you know, May is supposed to be where the big hits come out, and that really was just like a disappointment at this point, to where it just got like, it's okay.
Yeah, the only shining light in May was X-Men.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just ended off with something that was just decent, and then like with it, but when June kicked in, like we said, man, it.
Edge of Tomorrow, Fault in Our Stars.
I like X-Men, but I think that these two movies and last week left more of an impression on me than X-Men
did. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like the thing with me was like Fault in Our Stars. That was the first young adult novel where I actually gave a shit in a long ass time.
What about How to Train Dragon?
Well, yeah. But one that's primarily aimed at girls.
Thank you for reminding me that that's a book now. So now I can throw that at you whenever you say, I actually gave a shit about it. Like, what about How to Train Dragon? You like that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good point. But how many of those young adult readers that girls love so much, how many of them have read How to Train Your Dragon?
I just told you.
Listen,
I just told you. Damn.
But back to this. I really do give this a see it. I mean, this is. God damn, this was funny.
And I'm not gonna lie, That opening of the movie didn't really credit the me going, oh, great, the trailers were wrong. I was still on that page where I was like, when I saw it, and I was just like, this is the best this movie got to offer, then. Wow, we're really going to be in some trouble here. But, wow, did it really pick up in its writing after that. I was shocked by that. I was just shaking my head half the time. I was just like, I'm laughing hard as fuck just as I did at the first one. Once again, it's another movie I would not mind watching back-to-back with the original.
Yeah, once again, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, man. They're fucking nailing it. From all ends.
They really are. And Phil Lord, Chris Miller, I really wish you would just get down and do Fantastic Four. I will suck your dick if you have to do that
movie. You know, I was mad the other day hearing about that Sonic the Hedgehog movie, but if the rumors are true and they're the ones that they're looking at to do it, I'm okay.
I'm okay with them doing anything. And Phil Lord, Chris Miller, once you listen to this, please hear my voice. Just kick that guy off. Do Fantastic Four for me. Like, do it. Look here. Just... Dude, you ever seen those Ethiopian commercials? That's me right now. I'm like an Ethiopian right now. I'm just starving for a good Fantastic Four. So if you could just do that for me, I would appreciate it so much that I will donate Lehu's left testicle to charity if you just do that for me.
I didn't agree to that shit. Get one of your Darkness brothers to do that.
Lehu, you'll be knocked out. Don't worry, I'll drug you.
The hell you will!
I'll date rape you like Maleficent, okay?
Oh!
Oh, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Right in the crack.
White boy wasted. We need an expert to consult.
Listen, Mr. Walters, I should apologize
for shooting my penis off, but don't sweat it. They gave me a vagina. Hey, guess what? I'm Eric's bitch.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am! You own this ass!
Oh, my God.
Hey, Eric.